thank you for your word that is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that illuminates that word to us and leads us into all truth and helps us understand what that scripture says so that we may understand it, so that we may apply it to our lives, and so that we may grow in you through it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning to hear what you are saying, not just hear the letters, not just hear the words of a pastor preaching, but Father, may we hear what your spirit is saying in this time to us. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you'll remember back, think back, if you were around a year ago today, I started sharing some messages on the topic of preparing the way. And you'd say it's coincidence, but I don't think there's coincidence. I think God knows what he's doing, and he started leading me back to that this week as I was seeking him on what to share with you this morning. And in my first message, I shared with you a word that was given to me on April 24th, 2021. It was on Wednesday night, and we were in here in worship. And I'll just read to you what I wrote down from that time and what I read on November 19th of this last year. It says, the Lord showed me a picture of a room, and preparations were being made for an event, like you would decorate for a wedding. Tables were being set up, centerpieces of flowers were being placed on the tables, and the workers were busy making everything look perfect. One of the workers said to another, I don't know why we're doing all this work. We don't even know if anyone is going to show up. The Lord spoke to my heart, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which should be on the screen. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, say proper time, proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, the preparations you are making may look foolish now while the seats are empty, but you are not preparing for now. You are preparing for what I am going to do. Preparations are made before the event, when the room is empty, so that you are ready when the guests arrive. And I want you to look around and see all the new faces of people who were not here 1 year ago. Think, because some of them might not be here this morning. How many new faces have we seen in these chairs over the last number of months? We need to recognize that God is doing something in our congregation. Amen, yes. We need to see what God is doing, because a lot of times the miraculous, whatever God is doing can be disguised in the ordinary. You look at it at first glance and say, that's ordinary. But no, God is working. We need to recognize it for what it is. So I shared a series with you called Prepare the Way, and it was based off of these verses in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. You see, I see preparing the way is a calling. It was a calling that was placed upon John the Baptist. He was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Jesus was getting ready to be brought onto the scene of this time and start his ministry, and John was going out and he was preparing the way. See, it's a calling to advance the kingdom of God. It's a calling to get out of the way. John said, he must become greater and I must become less. It's a calling to remove all the obstacles that stand in the way. And in those messages, I had given four different ways, four different areas that we needed to prepare in. And one of them was commitment, that the people of God need to become more committed to the body of Christ. And we did some membership, things with membership to facilitate that commitment. We talked about prayer being a way. And we started coming in here on Sunday mornings and praying before the services start. And there's a few faithful, and I thank you for those few faithful that come and get at the altar and cry out to God before you ever arrive. They're preparing the way. We talked about preparing the way through giving and how whenever God's doing something, there has to be the finances there. We can prepare the way through our giving because so that what needs to be done can be done, so that there's no hindrance into what God is wanting to do, but there's plenty of finances available. And I'll tell you, you are a giving church. You are faithful to give. Some would say, well, look at our economy. Well, you would not know by our giving. You guys don't just give when things are going good. You give when things are going bad. You're faithful. You're consistent. And I praise God for your faithfulness and your consistency. We also talked about preparing the way through serving. Through serving. This is one area that we haven't really hit yet, but it's on the list. We're going to be getting there shortly. And you know, we keep saying that. Well, I know. I'm going to get to it. The Lord's working on me. But the reason why we hadn't gotten to it yet is partially because of what I'm talking about this morning. You see, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. And in Psalm 31, chapter 15 through 16, the psalmist writes, "My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love." And I want you to understand that your times are in God's hands. You hear me? Your times are in God's hands. I thought of Esther. And the Jewish race, they were getting ready to be wiped out. There was a plot against them to wipe everyone out, genocide of the whole, get rid of everyone. And Esther, in the book of Esther, she's the main character, but there's a man named Mordecai that God put in there. And he's talking to her, talking to Esther, and he says, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come into your royal position for such a time as this?" You see, the times of Esther were in the hands of God. And Mordecai saw this and he said, "Who knows that you came into this position at this time because God has a purpose. There's a reason for you at this time." And I say the same for you if you're sitting in a seat and if you're listening online. If you've been here the last 5 weeks but so you couldn't be here today, there's a reason that God has you connected with New Testament Christian Center. There's a reason that you are connected. And I believe it's for such a time as this. You see, Mordecai knew that life was not a series of consequences that just happened, but that times were in God's hands. And I want you to know that if you're listening to my voice this morning, it's not by chance, it's not luck, it's not a coincidence. Your times are in God's hands. If you've been here your whole life, it's because your times are in God's hands. If you just joined us recently, it's because your times are in God's hands. So this morning, well, this week as I was preparing, I felt the Lord put on my heart to talk to you about time. To talk to you about time. And the psalmist said, "My times are in your hands." And so the question is, what are my times? What are my times? If they are in God's hands, then what is it that is in God's hands? I need you to understand that in life, timing is important. You can play an instrument, but if you don't understand timing and rhythm, it won't sound very good, right? You can hit a ball, but if you don't understand timing, you're not going to hit it very often, right? You can grow a garden, but if you don't understand the timing of the seasons, you're not going to grow one be very successful, right? Because you don't plant seeds in the wintertime when the snow is falling or it's getting below freezing. You got to understand the timing of things. The psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12 writes, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." He's saying, look, we got to understand our time. We got to understand how many days we have. Teach us, Lord, to look at it with critically and understand what's going on that we may have wisdom in our heart. And see, and I believe that if we understand what the psalmist meant by my times, we're going to be able to gain wisdom that will help us as we live our lives for the remainder of the time that God has given us on this earth. We are going to talk about the kinds of time this morning. And first, I want to talk to you about rhythms of time. I'm going to talk to you about rhythms of time. The passing of time, the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the centuries. It's an endless cycle of recurring events. Every January 1st, there's a party people throw, right? To ring in the new year. You see, there's 60 seconds in a minute. There are 60 minutes in an hour. There's 12 hours in a day. There's 30-ish days in a month and 12 months in a year. 10 years in a decade and 100 years in a century, repeating over and over and over and over again. It's a rhythm. It's a beat. Summer, spring, summer, winter. Sorry, let me get the beat in order. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Four seasons in a year. It's an endless cycle. I'm going to be 40 years old this year. 40 times, 365 days have passed by, and I have celebrated my birthday every year for 40 years. You see, we use cycles to tell time, how long it's been, or how long we must wait, how much time is left. And this tells us something about ourselves. It tells us our age. My youngest two boys are 8, and I have a girl that is 16 years old. Well, she will be 16 years old soon, and she will be driving. It's a big time in her life. I am 40. How old are you? 70. She's 70 years old. Praise God. Thank you for... She's 70. Twice. Yes. See, it tells us something about us, doesn't it? I want you to understand. See, if we're going to understand time, we're going to have to understand that God is the creator of time, and therefore he's the owner of time. Amen. He's the creator of time, and he's therefore the owner of time. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, he said, "And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. He said God created lights. God created lights to help us. To help us mark the times, mark sacred times, days, and years. You see, this was so important because the seventh day of creation was coming. The seventh day was coming, and what happened on the seventh day? Chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 2 through 3 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God created the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." And you go forward through the Bible, you go through the history of God's creation, and you come to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, where God's giving the Ten Commandments, and he says this, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work." We need to get back to that sometimes, I think. doing all our work on the 6 days and rest on the seventh one. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns. But we see the rhythm that God has created, and he's using that rhythm to help us. 7 days in a week. And it helps us understand our times, that there's a time to work and then that there's a time to rest. We need to number our days, right? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Then he commands us to honor the Sabbath. Rest, keep it holy. It is for our good because we all need to rest. And see, even if the Sabbath, there was a rhythm. The Sabbath was once every 7 days. Sabbath years, once every 7 years, where they were supposed to let their fields rest. The year of Jubilee was the year following 7 Sabbath years. So after 49 years, let's read it just so we gain understanding. It says in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 through 13, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for all of you. Each of you is to return to your own family property and your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or the harvest unintended vines. For it is the Jubilee, and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their own property. You see, we need to understand the rhythms of time. We need to understand that God has set in Sabbaths for a reason. We need to understand the times, and because Sabbaths are to time what tithes are to our possessions. It's so easy to come up here and throw 10% of what we've earned into a bucket, but it's so hard to give 1/7 of our week to God. They're resting. Resting while they think about that. But these rhythms of time are important. Birthdays are important. Anniversaries are important. Remembering is important. We need to understand that the Hebrew word for time can also be used for foot. And you're like, what? Yes, the word for foot. We need to understand that time marches on. Time is like an army that keeps perfect step, one step after another, marching forward, never stopping, continually moving forward, always advancing in perfect rhythm. And I want you to understand that step by step, God leads us every day, every week. Every year, if we give God time, everything will work out for our good, just as he has promised it would. You see, we need to be careful, church, that we understand time and that we walk step in step with our Lord as he moves forward. We need to take advantage of the rhythms of time that God has set in place. Rest when God has designated rest. Find time to Sabbath, consistent as the marching of feet of an army. Secondly, we need to understand about the second kind of time that we're going to talk about today is specific time. A specific time. You see, there's events in our lives that happen at specific times, and often they change things in our lives. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, we see a specific time or an exact time, and it says, Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. The Magi, or the wise men, were looking for Jesus because they saw a star that appeared in the sky, and the King Herod wanted to know, what was the exact time? When did it happen? It's important to know when things happen. You see, there was an exact time the star appeared, and there was an exact time that Jesus was born. There was an exact time that Jesus died on a cross, and there was an exact time that he rose from the dead. There was an exact time that you put your hope in Christ and were saved. There was an exact time when you were going to die and be united with Christ in glory. Times are specific. There's specific times and dates for events that happen in our lives. I want you to understand that a specific time is a now time. A specific time is a now time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul writes, For he says, In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, today is the day to do it. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month or next year. Now is the time for salvation. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And if he's holding out his hand to you today, grab a hold of it today. Today could be the day that changes your life forever. Today could be the day that your name is written in the book of life, and you will spend with eternity with Christ. But today you have to act. Today you have to respond. Also, now may be the time to forgive someone. Now may be the time to surrender what you've been holding on to. Now may be the time to let go of some things. Now may be the time for you to move on. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we see that there is a time for everything. It says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We got to understand that there's a time for everything. And I don't know what situation you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your life, but now is a now time. And I don't know which one of these is now for you, but you do. You do. You know what needs to happen now. Make sure that we do what the now requires of us. Let's not wait till it's too late. I want you to understand, and I want you to talk to you for a moment about the fullness of time. You see, there are specific times, there's dates, and there's these things that are happening, but also sometimes specific times and dates happen in the fullness of time, when the time becomes ready for them to happen. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it says, But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. There was a set time, and there was a time when that set time had fully come, and they come together and made the perfect time. This means that there is a time when it's the right time, and there's a time when it's the wrong time. You see, we are told Jesus came when this scripture is telling us that Jesus came when he did for a reason. He came when he did because the time had fully come. He couldn't have come earlier, and he couldn't have come later. He came when the time had fully come, when the conditions were just right, at the time that God prescribed. I've been to a theater to see a musical, and there's a set time that the crowd shows up. And there's preparation for that time. The stage is being set. The cast is getting in place. They are put into their costumes. The lights are dimmed, and now's the time. All the preparations now have been made. The show is ready to begin. Now is the time. We're not going to wait an hour to start. Now is the time. We couldn't have started an hour earlier. Now, no, now is the time. Now is the time that has been set. When the time had fully come, when it was the right moment, when everything was complete, when everything was ready, now the plan can continue. Now the show can start. Now we can continue with what needs to happen. I love what it says in Luke chapter 18, what Jesus tells his disciples. Luke chapter 18, verse 31 through 33, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that was written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And then in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus was hanging on a cross. Everything that he just told them would happen, happened. And now here he is hanging on the cross. And it says, when he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He said, "It is finished." Everything that was written about Jesus that was going to be fulfilled was now fulfilled. And he just put the cap on top of it and he said, "It's finished. Everything's been done. There's nothing left to be done. Now is the right time. Now is the set time. Now is the time that it's been completed and we can move forward." Right? Because he was going to be rising in 3 days. But what everything that had to be done before that moment now had been done, he said, "It is finished." What we need to understand about specific times is that specific times and the fullness of time is that God's plan is fulfilled at precisely the right time. God has a plan, and that plan is going to be fulfilled at precisely the right time. Emphasis on precisely. In Psalm 139, verses 15 through 16, the psalmist writes, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when it was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now you may look at your life and see a set of random events. You see people who have hurt you. You have seen what appears to be lucky breaks. You see events that seem to be pure coincidence. But the Bible tells us that our days are ordained and written before one of them came to be, meaning nothing is by chance. Nothing is coincidence. My birthday is on October the 4th of 1982. And this church's birthday is on October 31st of 1982. Is that coincidence? Is that chance? Or did God see a baby in a womb and see a church in the spiritual womb of Pat Doyle and some of the other men and women of God? Did he see all the days that were ordained for me and say, this baby will be the pastor of this church one day? And by my design, they will be born in the same month of the same year. Some people will see coincidence, but other people will see the hand of God. You say, well, what difference does it make? I don't know, but I just see God's hand in all of it. It might be nothing more than for me to sit here and say, God, boy, you sure knew my days. And that's good enough for me. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And then it says, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. There's three things in this verse I see. One is that we are called by God, right? God is the one who has called you. If you are in the seat, if you have given your life to Christ, it was because God called you. It was not because of chance. Secondly, I see that we are called for God's purpose and grace. It was his purpose. It was his grace. It's his plan and his taking somebody that was an absolute mess, pouring his grace upon them and putting them in the place where they are. You're not standing there because you're perfect. You're not standing there because you did something right. You're not standing there because you just got good-looking hair. You're standing there because God's grace is letting you stand there. You're not standing on your feet. You're standing on God's grace in your life. You see, God is fulfilling his plan in your life perfectly. His perfect timing, his perfect way. He had marked out your life with grace written all over it before the beginning of time. You see, you look at your life and you see a mess. You see detours. You see wrong turns. You see mistakes and mess-ups and trials. And God sees his perfect plan being lived out perfectly. And you say, well, how can that be? How can that be? How can such a mess be somehow in God's perfect plan? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul writes, and he says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. God is somehow able to take something that's a mess, something that's imperfect, something that doesn't fit together in any way, and he molds it and shapes it and weaves it and puts it just so to make something beautiful out of it, something good. You see a mess, God sees his purpose and grace all over your life. Because your times are in his hands. Your times are in his hands. The third kind of time I want you to understand about, I'm going to teach you about this morning, is appointed times. Appointed times. The term usually designates significant events in the history of salvation, and that's how we're going to see it used here. Oh, praise God. Is that the last scripture on there, Stephanie? Can you advance it for me? Wait, here, let me try something. See, God's got his perfect plan. If you can advance it, Stephanie, for me, that'd be great. Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. He says, he replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell them, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. Jesus is saying, my appointed time is near. Moving on, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. It says, when he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men come from the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? There was a day that's appointed for all the demonic forces to be dealt with. And they're saying, have you come to torture us before that appointed time? Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It says, you see, at just the right time. I like that. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. They were searching to find out the time and the circumstances that was set by God for Christ to come, to suffer, and then be glorified. You see, at the appointed time, God reached down into time. He reached down into this world. He sent his Son into this world. And he interfered with the course of mankind. You see, because we were headed straight for hell. We were headed straight for destruction. If God would not have intervened in mankind and the path that we were taking, we would have all be led to destruction. Eternal separation from God. But he set an appointed time where he was going to reach down. He was going to step down into time and change things completely. Change the course of mankind. You see, all these scriptures, we can call them appointed times because the Bible calls them appointed times. It's set forth in Scripture. These are appointed times. It's speaking of the salvation. It's speaking of the plan of salvation from God. But my question is what about you? Has there been any appointed times in your life? They're not in Scripture because you're not in Scripture. But has there been any appointed times in your life? Appointed times where God reached down and changed the course of your life when you were headed to hell, but now you're not. You see, I believe I was saved at the appointed time. He knew my days before one of them came to be. He ordained them. He wrote them down in the book before one of them came to be. You see, I believe I was saved at an appointed time. I was a boy who grew up in a church, but I did not know God. But as I reached the age of 14, 15 years old, 15 more likely probably, I started feeling conviction in my heart over my sin. I realized that the life I was living was destroying me, and it was separating me from God, and I was feeling the weight of that conviction on my heart. I didn't know God because my sins were keeping me from God. I had not heard him. I wasn't interested in the Bible. When I read the Bible, it was just words. When we went to church, the pastor preaching, the messages didn't speak to me. The worship had no effect on me because I was far from God. But I started feeling the conviction of sin in my own life. And then for a month or more, I went to church There was a time period there where I'd go to church and the pastor would be preaching, and I just wanted him to have an altar call so I could come down and I could give my life to God so I could be saved. That's not what he was preaching on. He wasn't talking about sin. He wasn't preaching hellfire and damnation. He was just preaching about David and Goliath or something. But in my heart, I was like, I need to get my life right with God. But I was stuck to that seat. For months, I was stuck to that seat, and I couldn't get up off of it. I couldn't get enough boldness in me. I couldn't get enough. There wasn't a freedom. There wasn't a release to go and say, hey, I need to give my life to Christ, or turn to my parents and say, I want to be saved, or turn to my friend and or go to my pastor. There wasn't that freedom. I was stuck in my seat. But I know this, there was an appointed time coming. And when the youth group in my church, there was a time coming when the youth group in my church was going to be transformed. And they went to a revival and they had come back on a Wednesday night and God just started doing something mighty and powerful in the youth group. And I wasn't part of the youth group. Remember, I didn't care. I was not part of anything. And that Sunday morning, the pastor comes up on the stage and he says, God's doing something powerful in our youth group, and their lives are being transformed. And if you want to get in on this, if you want more of God, if you want to surrender your life to God, I want you to just come down front. And there was nothing that was going to keep me in that seat. I've been wanting to come down. I've been waiting for this moment for months to happen. And there was never, it was, although I wanted to, I couldn't. Why? Because the time had not yet arrived. The time was not yet right. There was things that were holding me down. But that morning, something was different. Something was broken. Now was the appointed time. Now was the day that he took the shackles off the feet and so that I could walk down that aisle. There was nothing that was going to keep me in that seat that Sunday morning. I worked my way out the row and I walked down the center aisle of the church. I'd never been down it before. For any reason, just. But I knelt down at that altar. God saved me. I asked him to forgive me, to be my Lord, and I got up forever changed. It just, that was the day. That was the time. That was the moment. That was the appointed time. And my life was changed because of that appointed time. You see, it was the time that God had appointed to transform the lives of hundreds of youth in my community. And my whole youth group was transformed. And we started having services multiple days a week. I want to say 4 or 5 days of the week for a couple months until summer was ending practically. And this boy that did not want anything to do with church before couldn't be kept out of church now. Because God changed something in me. He transformed me. He saved me. So what about you? What about you? Has there been an appointed time in your life where God said, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to change the course of this man or woman's life? And I thank God he did. I thank God. Maybe he sent someone to your life to witness and to share the gospel with you. Maybe something terrible happened, and at that point you just broke and you could no longer resist God. Now, whatever it may be, the question is, was there that time? You see, because we need to understand appointed times to understand where God is taking us. And to understand appointed times. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Both verses make the same point. When you see an opportunity, take it. When you see there's an opportunity to share the gospel, take it. When the Spirit of God is moving in the service and your heart is convicted, then go down and repent. When the Spirit of God is moving, now is the time. Make the most of the opportunity that's presented to you. When you see an appointed time, when you see the opportunity, you must do what the time requires. When the Spirit of God moves, that's when it's the time to respond. When God brings conviction to your heart, that's when it's time to repent. When God brings lost into your path, that's when it's time to witness to them. I want you to understand that as we're living, as we're walking, as we're living our lives, it's hard to recognize appointed times. We don't create appointed times. We don't go searching for them to find them. God creates them, and they find us. They find us. When we see an appointed time, you must make the most of that opportunity. In the beginning of this message, I told you about the word that God had given me, and that we needed to be ready. We needed to get ready. That you make preparations when the room is empty so that you are ready when the guests arrive. And what he's saying is, look, there's an appointed time coming. You want to be ready. There's an opportunity coming when I'm going to do something and you need to be ready for it. You're not going to see it coming. You might not even recognize it when it happens. But you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to be making the most of every opportunity, because you just don't know if this opportunity is the opportunity that's going to be an appointed time for something great. Wednesday night, Brother Richard here spoke prophetically about this 40th anniversary, saying that it has significance. And what he was saying is that there's an appointed time coming for us at New Testament Christian Center. That we're right on the verge of a time that God has appointed, and he's going to do something. And listen, we might not even hardly recognize it when it comes. We might not hardly know it when it's among us. We might just be like going through our normal, feels like we're kind of going through our normal day and say, oh, that was a good service. Oh, that was a great time. Or did you see that happen? That was wonderful. And then we walk out and we eat lunch and we go back to work on Monday morning. Or someone might come along your path and you might pray for them and you think, that was a great prayer. And But then you don't know that they went home and they were healed or they were set free or they gave their lives to Christ. For you, it was just ordinary, but what you didn't realize is it was an appointed time, and God was working, and he was doing something that you didn't even know about. Because oftentimes the miraculous, as I said earlier, is disguised within the ordinary. It feels ordinary at the time. And you're like, oh, that was neat. That was cool. So listen. Okay. That Sunday morning, I went down to the altar. For anybody else, there's like, oh, there's Justin. He's going down to the altar. Look at that. Well, I never seen him do that before. That's cool. That's great. Wow. Little did they know that it changed my life forever. It was my appointed time. For the pastor, it might not have been any different. For one of the 500 people in the congregation that morning, it might not have been anything different. They might not even noticed it. For me, it changed me forever. It changed my life. It changed where God was taking me. My whole course was shifted. You know, at that time I thought about having a computer store where I was building computers. That was the direction that I thought kind of maybe. God had a different plan. He came and he changed the direction of my life. And you never know when that's going to happen to somebody. You never know if today is that day for you. I want to show you an appointed time as I'm wrapping up here. You see, there was a man in the Bible that was paralyzed, and he lived by a pool. And there was a lot of people who were paralyzed that lived by this pool. They were lame, and they stayed around the pool because there was this belief that every so often an angel would come, and he'd stir the waters up in the pool. And if you were close, if you were at the right point, if you were at the right time, if you just got lucky, if by chance you were right there, you would be able, and you got in the pool first, then you would be healed. I don't know how successful it was because I have this feeling that there was a lot of people around the pool. There was a lot of people looking for a moment that would change their lives. The problem was is they were trying to figure it out on their own. They thought they knew how God was going to work. They thought they knew what God was going to do. They had their hope in something else, this angel that might come, and maybe he'll stir the waters, and maybe this will happen. This man, I believe it tells us, was there for 38 years, and he had never been healed. He was looking for luck. He was looking for coincidence. He was looking for chance that he'd be in the right place at the right time, but that never happened. But Jesus walks in, of all these people around, and he finds this one man, and he asks him a question. He says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And of course, in John chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, he said, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured and picked up his mat and walked. You see, this man struggled with the same issue for 38 years. And what he was trying to do was not working. But one day Jesus showed up, and it was the appointed time in this man's life. There was lots of other people there. There was this one man, but Jesus stepped down into his life and completely turned the course of his life because it was the right time. It was the appointed time for him. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? You see, all he had to do was embrace the opportunity that was before him. Did he know Jesus? Maybe he did. Maybe he had seen Jesus healing people. He might not have even known who he was. But he asked him, do you want to get well? And all this man had to do was embrace that opportunity. It might have looked like a normal opportunity. Well, here's some guy. He's asking me if I want to get well. Might have just seemed absolutely normal to him, but listen, he embraced that opportunity and his life was changed. He was healed. He was set free. His life was never the same. When we are reading Scripture, we're looking back at things that happened. It's always easier to see appointed times looking back. Because while we're going through them, they appear ordinary. And I don't want you to be deceived or be discouraged or think, well, what's God doing? We're not seeing nothing happening. I don't want you to be like that when things look ordinary. Because it's always easier to look back and see what God has done then look forward and see what he's going to be doing. Or look right here and see what he's doing now. Because you may pray for someone and say, that was just ordinary. That felt ordinary. But you do not know what God is doing. And I have this feeling in my heart and my spirit that what God's going to be doing in us may look ordinary until we look back and you say, wow, look what God did. Look at what he has done. See, you came into this building, you've joined us. Some of you are new and you've joined us in the last 6 months, last year. And for you, it was ordinary. For us, it was ordinary. Oh, there's someone else that comes in the door. Well, praise God, we got a new face. And you just come to church on Sunday morning and think, but you look, I think we're going to look back and say, wow, look at what God did. Look at who he brought. Look who he set free. Look who was delivered. Look who was healed. Look whose life was transformed during that time. Right? Now it just seems ordinary. But you are here for a reason. God has your times in his hands. You might not even know why you're here, but God does. He's bringing opportunities. He's bringing appointed times for your life to be transformed. I can't wait to see what God's going to do among us. I can't wait to embrace it and to enjoy it and then one day look back and say, wow, look what he did. But for now, we live our lives. We make the most of every opportunity as God brings them to us. We let him do the work. We let him bring the appointed times. We let him change people. We let him transform people. We let him heal people and set them free. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me as we pray? You see, we never know when an appointed time may be. And for me, this might feel like an ordinary Sunday. But for you in your own heart this morning, you might be like me when I was that little boy, that 13-year-old, well, 15-year-old boy in that church, and wanted to get my life right with God. And if that's you, if you heard me talking about salvation, about needing forgiveness for sin, your sin that's separating you from God, and that really was working in your heart, I want to ask you just raise your hand so that I can see it. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you say, this was my morning, the Lord's working in me, and I've been wanting to for a long time, but if that's you, I just raise your hand. Because we just don't know. We don't know. For the rest of us, I really believe that we need to be ready for whatever God's going to do. We don't make things happen. We don't go running to find them. We don't try to figure them out. It's all in God's hands. It's all in his timing. It's all by his spirit. It's by his power. Our job is to be faithful, to make the most of every opportunity that arises. And when the Spirit, and we feel the Spirit of God say, go pray for that person, we go pray for that person. When we feel the Spirit of God speak to you and say, you need to repent over this, then we get down on our knees and humble ourselves before God and say, forgive me. If we are obedient and we hear his voice and we do what he says, we're going to see some amazing appointed times. Some amazing appointed times. But what are we going to do? Because time marches on, step by step by step, day by day by day, and we go with that. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to go to work. You're going to get up Tuesday and you're going to do whatever Tuesday requires of you. Another year's going to go by. And so we follow God step by step. By step, we're carried along as we follow him. In Acts, it tells us that the miracles followed them who believed. They didn't chase after them. They didn't go looking, oh, there's a miracle. Oh, that person needs... So they followed them. They were moving forward as God led them. And they looked back and said, wow, look what God did. Let's do that, church. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning. Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would do amazing work in us. Lord, that we would hear your voice, that we would walk in your Spirit, that we would keep in step with you day by day, making the most of every opportunity that you bring in front of us. Lord, we believe you have amazing things in store, and we cannot wait to see them, Lord. Bring them our way, Lord. May we have the pleasure of seeing them and being part of them. Lord, we want to say thank you for choosing us for what you're going to do. Lord, we thank you that we're here this morning. Lord, we thank you that we're part of this body. We thank you that we're part of what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to keep in step with you and keep in step with your Spirit as we move forward. You just grab the hand of the person next to you if you hadn't already. Just grab a hand of somebody. As a body, Lord, we say yes to what you want to do here at New Testament Christian Center. We say yes. Use us, lead us, guide us. Thank you for choosing us. We love you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Amen.